The message today is entitled, A Personal Invitation from Jesus to Weary Souls. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, never man spake like this man. We are thankful that we have been permitted to have such words as these that were read this morning fall upon our ears, coming from the lips of one who spoke the truth. Father, our souls are weary of listening to men make false promises, tell lies, pretend to be something they are not, and to hear thy Son say, Come unto me. We are so thankful that there are such words as these recorded in thy word, and that they can be made our own. Father, you know our hearts. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised. And you know how dull the hearts of men are, and how Satan would seek to take away the good word of God sown in the heart. And you know that no matter how eloquent a man is in his speech, unless thy Spirit empowers, all is in vain. We are aware of this, and that is why we pray again, our Father, that fruit shall be born, that the name of your Son shall be glorified, and you shall rejoice, because the plans that you have for men, good plans, can be realized in their lives. So, bless us this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Had I read you more of this chapter, this is what would have been so startling. At the first part of the chapter, we have Jesus upbraiding unrepentant cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! He is upbraiding unrepentant cities. And when he finishes that upbraiding, he says, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Isn't that strange? That one who is vehemently rebuking sinners for their hardened hearts can finish that rebuke and in a moment of time lift his eyes to heaven and thank his Father that things are as they are. You say, yes, but after that, he can lower his eyes and say, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think, in the compass of just a short period of time, our Savior is reproving and rebuking and upbraiding unrepentant sinners, and then he's thanking his heavenly Father, and then he is appealing to all the others that are not in the category of being hardened, unrepentant, unreachable sinners. So all these emotions in a moment of time, rebuke, thanksgiving, and an appeal to sinners. Most of us aren't that way. I confess, and is it not true of you, that if you get angry, the Bible has to say, let not the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because we persist in that anger. But the Lord Jesus, with but a word of appeal made to him, will change. Think of those who have rejected miraculous signs from heaven, and the Lord tells them the consequences of such an action, but then he can put those out of his mind, think the whole situation through, and thank his Father, and then remember that his Father so loved the world, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'm the Son, Father, and I'm thanking you, even though I preach these sinners have rejected and you've dealt with them as you have, I'm thanking you, but I remember, Father, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And immediately he turns again to his mission to save sinners, and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All right. Our Savior is giving a personal invitation to weary souls. Why would the Lord ever do such a thing for sinners who were so zealous and actively engaged in religious activities? I could understand if I went to bars and dens of iniquity and spoke to people. But the Lord Jesus is speaking to religious men that go to church, putting it in words we understand, church every Sunday, prayer meetings, they give, they pray, they're engaged in every religious activity, and yet the Lord says, come unto me. Why would he speak such words to people like these? The reason he does it is that he is aware that all of these religious efforts going about to seek and to secure a righteousness that is not from God is unavailable. It is unattainable. He knows that. He sees them with all of their activity, all of their works, and he says, stop this futile work and come unto me. He tells them to stop, because religion, unless it is a religion that God reveals from heaven, is a futile religion. The Bible speaks about religion, and there is a good religion. It says, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this. And it tells what pure religion is. And the Lord Jesus also exposes what hypocritical religion is, what worthless religion is. And the kind that the Lord Jesus is talking about is a religion that is futile, that is fruitless, and will never secure what it is laboring so diligently to acquire. That's why the Lord Jesus says, come unto me. And the other reason he speaks these words to such people is this. He is aware that some realize, and at times it takes a lifetime, that some are aware that what he knows, they are beginning to discover in their heart that all of their activity, all of their religion, all of their prayers, all of their self-efforts are availing nothing, and they do not have that rest of soul that they thought all of their religion would bring to them. And because of that, the Lord Jesus says, do you realize that? And some of them say, yes, I realize it. Some never do. Some people will die and upon their deathbed still be seeking to work their way to heaven, and they never realize it. But the Lord Jesus knows that some will realize, as the Apostle Paul, that all of these self-efforts are worthless to acquire salvation. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians how he went through this experience. He tells about what he was by birth, what he was by works, he could tell of all the good things that he had done, and when he thought them over, and he thought of salvation that he wanted, he said, "What things were gains to me, I count them dung, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Isn't that remarkable? That some people think that all of this religion is acceptable in God's sight. And a brother used the word this morning, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Self-righteousness as filthy rags. All of the activity of man, worthless activity, unacceptable to God. And the Savior knows that. And that's why he speaks these words. But he speaks them also because he knows that some men, like Paul, and others like them, realize that they are laboring in vain. They come to themselves and say, "What am I doing?" Like that son that we call the prodigal son who was in the far country, and he was sitting with the pigs, and it says he came to himself, and he said, "What am I doing here?" He said, "My father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm sitting here starving to death with the pigs." He said, "I'm going home." You see, he came to himself. And the Lord Jesus knows that there are two kinds of wearied sinners, and this is why I want to tell you about this portion, because the kind of wearied sinners Jesus is speaking here to is not the kind that is like that prodigal son in the far country. He's wearied. I'll tell you about him, and indeed that is applicable. But the kind of wearied sinner that she's talking about is that elder brother who came in from the field when his younger brother had come home. Notice, he had been in the field laboring, working, and at the same time he had denied himself of all fleshly activities, and he told his father that, and his heart was hardened, and he was merciless, and he was unforgiving, and he was out of sympathy. With his father's mind, his father's heart was rejoicing because his son had come home. But this elder brother's heart was alienated from his father and from his brother. He wanted to be in the field working, trying to merit something. And his father wanted to show mercy upon that repenting son who came home. The son that was dead and was alive again was lost and was found. And so you have two kinds of sinners. Most of the time, we think about weary sinners like unto that prodigal in the far country. But there are just as many weary sinners like the older brother who've never gone to the far country. So what kind are you? You both need the same blessing that our Savior gives. I'll never forget this verse because it, with another portion, were impressed upon me before I ever trusted Christ as Savior. When I was a young boy, before my teens, because of something that was done in the church, I was given a Bible, and in the front of that Bible was Luke 2:52, and Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And before I was ever saved, I had that verse written in ink in my Bible, perhaps by my Sunday school teacher that gave it to me. Never forgot it. And this verse I never forget because I recall it when I was 14 years old. And at my father's funeral, this was a portion that the minister quoted. And I can remember mother's words talking about my father who drank himself to death. She said this, "If there was ever a weary soul, it was Maple Mills." That was my father. And I can remember those words almost 50 years ago. 48 to be exact. My mother said those words, and they came in this verse. Because when it says, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden," the word labor can mean one who labors, but having labor, you become weary. And the word is translated weary in another place. The Lord Jesus has been walking on his journeys in service for God, and it says in John chapter 4, Jesus being wearied with his journey. You see, the word wearied is this word, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. If you labor, you become weary. So, perhaps the minister said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But in that instance, at my father's funeral, it was because of a life that had been wasted in drink, and he was so weary, and as a young man, he died. But the Lord Jesus is speaking here, not of sinners that are wearying themselves in pleasures and lust and in the furious activity of the world, but he is talking to religious sinners that can be more active than the worldling trying to get pleasure. This is what the Lord Jesus says about some of them. He says, woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you compass land and sea trying to gain one convert. Think of that. They're willing to go to the ends of the earth. They would climb mountains. They would go to the depths. They would go across the ocean. Why? To win one soul. And how much effort have we in Goldsboro expended to win a soul? And yet, here are these religious sinners, and they compass land and sea to win one soul to Judaism. And the Savior says, and when you're successful, you're making twofold more a child of hell than yourself. But that's how active they were. Listen to this other man, this religious man. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He was laying before God all of his activity, everything that he had done. He's in the church, not only on the Sabbath day, but he is also at all the other religious days, and he's so satisfied. Now, some people who refuse to admit the light will go on that way their whole life long. But others, like that rich young ruler, come to the Lord Jesus, and they have worked and worked and worked, and yet there is no rest unto their souls, and they come to the Lord and say, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Savior says, you know the commandments. And he mentions them to him. And the young man says, all these have I observed from my youth. What lack I yet? You see, all of this activity from his youth he had been engaged in, and he knew something was lacking. Now others would never admit that. Some would say, I'm not as other men. I'm so self-satisfied. God, you are so pleased with me. The Lord said, the Father is not pleased with you. God looks at you and you are reprehensible. But here is this other individual, and this man is one who recognizes his insufficiency, and he is prepared to think it through, and he says, what lack I yet? And when the Savior tells him, suddenly he is crushed by the realization that he is one in pretense, that all of his efforts have not availed eternal life. And when the Savior speaks to him about loving his neighbor as himself, he understands that he is selfish and his whole life has been wasted in activity that does not give us a reward, eternal life. Now, isn't that sad? But instead of saying, well then, my Savior, you do for me and give to me what I cannot do for myself, what I cannot earn for myself. Instead, he turned his back upon the Savior and went his way because he had great possessions. Now, isn't that sad? So here is one that the Lord is talking to, and one who would listen. A man who is self-satisfied with himself, and some people think they're so good. They're such exemplary religious characters, not realizing that they are sinners. And as the Savior says to those in Revelation 3, they say, We are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and you know not that you're blind and naked and miserable. He says, buy of me, I fast, and anoint your eyes and see what you are. But some never will. But the Savior speaks these words because he knows that among a nation that is actively engaged in trying to work out salvation, trying to earn righteousness, he knows that some of them have an ear and an understanding that all of my efforts have not succeeded in getting that peace and rest of soul that I thought they would bring. And so the Savior says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of this. Think of what the Savior has said, and think of how devastating what he says is to the religion of the world. Because if he says to a man, come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he's telling them, first of all of your labor and all of your burdens that you're carrying, religious burdens, to get salvation, he said, they're not going to succeed. They'll never give rest. He said, but come unto me, and I will give it to you. How devastating to think that I have lived a life religiously before God. And the Savior says, it's worth it. But then at the same time, to have this consolation that is incomparable, the Savior says, what you cannot, by a lifetime of effort, by carrying burdens ever so heavy, what you cannot secure from God, you come to me, and I will give it to you. Isn't that remarkable? How devastating at first, but then, even though your life may have been spent seeking salvation by self-efforts, unsuccessfully, and you think of a wasted life. No. Think of the joy that is yours when the Savior says, I will give you what you've been trying to acquire your whole life long. Come to me by faith, and I will give it to you. And so that's the consolation. And I think of people who have been religious their whole life long, and they think back and they say, oh God, I was a hypocrite. I was deceived. This is not the way of salvation. It's the way of damnation. My whole life is wasted. The Savior says, yes. When it comes to all those good works you thought would earn salvation, your life has been wasted. But the consolation is this. You know it, and I know it. And in spite of your inability to merit salvation and work, and God will give it to you as a reward, he said, you come, and I will give it to you as a gift. You come unto me, and I will give you rest. This is the illustration because it is God's illustration. In Luke chapter 5, the very word labor that is used here, it says when the Savior told Peter, he said, now, you take your boat, you go out into the deep, and put down your net for a draught. And Peter said, Lord, he said, we have toiled all night long and have caught nothing. That's the word. He said, we have toiled all night long and have caught nothing. So here is a man that is religious, seeking to work his way to heaven. He is like Peter, who had been toiling all night long, throwing the net in the water, throwing the net again and again, pulling it in and looking at it. Nothing there. And here is the religious world trying to catch eternal life. And the Lord says, you will never acquire it. And so he says, now, do it my way. Put out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Peter says, well, I'll do it, but I know it's not going to do any good. He says, we've toiled all night long. The Savior, do what I say. And Peter said, at your word, I will do it. And he let down his net, and the word is not net, it's net. Let down the net, and when he did it, it was filled with a multitude of fishes so that the net began to break. And he called his partners and they came over. And they caught so many fishes that it said their boats were beginning to sink. Now there is God's illustration. Here is man in vain casting nets, trying to catch fish. It's like a man casting, trying to catch salvation by his good works and his efforts, all that he is. And all night long, his whole life long, he comes up with nothing. And the Savior says to him, now, stop doing it that way and do it my way. Man says, I've toiled all night long and caught nothing. The Savior says, put out into the deep at my word and let down your net for a draught. And he did it, and he caught so many fish, the nets were breaking. And he had to call his partners, and they came over, and their boats were beginning to sink. Why? Because they came to Jesus and did what his word told them to do. And this is what happens when a man reads and listens to Matthew 11:28 and believes it. He understands that he's been fishing all night and has caught nothing. Some never realize that. Some go to church and pray and read the Bible and try to do good, and they think that when they pull in the net, they're going to look and it's going to be filled with salvation. But the Lord Jesus says, now look at that net. What's in it? Nothing is empty. He says, now, do it my way. And they put in the net and bring it forward, and that net is filled with fishes, and they are amazed. So amazed that this is what Peter said when he saw all the fishes. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why did he say that? Because he knew that something miraculous had happened. And that is what happened to me, and it's what will happen to you and every other sinner. And when you think of it, you laugh at yourself. You say, why did it take me so long to understand that salvation is not of works? It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But the Lord Jesus puts it so simply. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You mean that stop doing everything that I've been doing and come and trust you? Yes, you do it, and I will give you rest. And he says, and when you come, you will find rest unto your soul. Now, here is what the world doesn't know. Here is why those that are indulged in sex and drugs and drink and gambling and lust, why are they engaged in those things? They are wearying themselves trying to get something out of life. But they bring in the net and there's nothing in it. Christ knows that, and this is what he's telling them. And they weary themselves, and they destroy themselves. They are wearied, and they are heavy laden. This is the sinner trying to do it. And he is actively engaged in seeking the pleasures of this world, and he burdens himself with sin after sin after sin, until he's bent over like that woman who could in no wise lift herself up. All of his sins are upon him. And the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so some of them are seeking that rest. Or perhaps I'll get it from going to rock concerts. Perhaps I'll get it by what you call a gathering and a trying to get all of this sort of thing as a hobby. I'll collect this. I will engage in this. Some try to do it with riches. Some try to do it by becoming the highest man, the most important man. All of those things are in vain. The Savior says, I am the only one who can give you rest unto your soul. And you come to me, and all you have to do is to come, and I will give you rest. Think now. When he said it, he is shedding light upon the truth of life, and he's making a promise. He says, come unto me, because if there were any salvation and rest in your self-efforts, he wouldn't need to invite you. And so he's telling you that your self-efforts are in vain. He says, but come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He is aware that he can do what only God can do. He can give you rest. Men were startled when he made such statements as that. There was a man who was let down into the midst through the roof, and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And the people round about said, "Now, this man blasphemes. Nobody can forgive sins but God." The Lord Jesus said, "That you may understand that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." He spoke to the man and performed a miracle for his body and a miracle for his soul. And now the Lord Jesus said, "I have authority to forgive sins, and I have power to give rest to wearied souls." And just as that man found out that Jesus had power to heal his body, he got up and walked. I can tell you that there is such a thing as the rest of soul that comes as a free gift from Jesus when you trust him as Savior. And it's the only way, and it's the only time you will ever get that rest of soul, is when you come and accept it from the hand of Jesus. He wants to give it to you. But now, here is what you must understand. Here is one that is a worldling, a sinner, and he's out actively engaged in trying to get all the rest and the pleasures of life, and he can't succeed. Well, when he stops doing all of these things, is this rest that the Savior promises just sitting around doing nothing? This man that is religiously engaged in activities, praying, going to church, trying to win sinners? Tell me, when Christ says, "Stop all that and come to me and I will give you rest," does he never do any of these things? Just the opposite. Listen. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Take my yoke upon you. I've never been a farmer, but I've seen farmers and I've seen pictures of them, and they take a yoke, and when they put a yoke on a beast of burden, it means that the beast of burden has work to do. And the Savior says, "I want you to put off that yoke, that Judaism has placed on you, and I want you to take my yoke. And I want you to remove that burden that the world has put on you, and I want you to take my burden." Listen, he says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." You say, well, he's not taking away a burden and leaving no burden on us. Of course not. He's not taking away a heavy yoke and not putting any yoke on us. Of course not. Don't you realize that you are never to be without a yoke? You say, well, what's the difference? The Savior says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And yet, this is the contradiction, that the burden that the Apostle Paul was bearing religiously before he trusted Christ, and the yoke that he had, it was more and it was heavier than the one that Christ gave. No, it was not. The one that Christ gave afterwards, he did more and his burden was heavier. You say, well, isn't that a contradiction? No. For some reason, this is what happens. When you take Christ's yoke, it is a yoke that enables you to do with ease of soul, what you could not do under the yoke of the law. You say, isn't that remarkable? And the burden that Christ placed upon you, because you love Christ, the love of Christ constrained us, and you are not now working to earn salvation, but you're working for Christ who earned it for you on the cross. Why? His burden is light. And yet, the burden will be heavier, and the duties will be more laborious, and yet you'll say Christ's yoke is easy, and his burden is light, and yet you weigh the burden that you had as a religious man or as a sinner, and you weigh the one that Christ puts on you, and you'll find that Christ is heavier, and yet it's lighter, and his yoke is bigger, and yet it's easier. Why? The Lord Jesus said, not only are you saved by grace, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And you think things through, that the labor that you are engaged in for Christ, it has an eternal reward of glory. You say, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So, all of you who are laboring in vain, who have burdens, whether religious or worldly, whatever kind they are, come to Christ. Remove those burdens. Take His, and He will give you rest. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for such words as these that came from the lips of Thy Son. They sound too good to be true, and yet those of us who have proved them have discovered them to be true. Yes, our Father, we have a yoke upon us, and we labor, and yet there is a rest and a peace of soul that is ours, because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that our righteousness is Christ's righteousness, that He's imparted to us, and we rejoice in this. We are so thankful for the explanation that Christ gives, and so we pray that we shall listen to Him. Father, some men have to be brought to Christ, but the time comes when some men must of their own volition come, and that is the invitation that He gives to us. So may it be true that all of us have come to Christ, and let us know what it is to have the burden of sin and the burden of religion removed from us, and to have the burden of obedience to Christ, because we love Him placed upon our shoulders, and we will discover that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.